with today being what they designate in the church world, sanctity of human life, there's a couple things that we want to talk about, and a couple things I think that's a little surprising to me that I found that sometimes I thought were just rumors in our land. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go right to Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you're doing your Bible reading, you should have just covered that here in the last couple weeks. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his image, his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. That is how we started out. We started out in the image of God. But when sin enters in, we lose that relationship with the Father, and we get a new father. The father of all lies, deceit, and death. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus met a few of people who have converted over. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." We have our birth father, then we have our sin father. God gave the nation of Israel a new chance in the promised land. And they failed to obey and ended up, they chose a new father. And I want you to flip to Psalm 106. I'm going to start at the 34th verse. Psalm 106, 34. If you brought your Bibles with you, 10,000 bonus points today. Hallelujah. Somebody asked what we do with all these points. You take them to the S&H Green stamp store and sign them in. That's just a joke, people. They're out of business. They're gone. Somebody say, "Well, I got all these books left over." From Psalm 106, they're talking about the nation of Israel and what they did. They had a commandment to go in and cleanse the land and turn to God. Here's what they did. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen. I wonder how much church is mingled among the heathen today. I know, you'd rather me talk about the Old Testament. Just think about it. Mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They were supposed to be a light, bringing light into a darkness. Instead, they allowed the darkness to overtake them. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring after their own inventions. I'm going to read it from a different translation just because it might kick in a little bit different here this morning. It says they didn't wipe out those godless cultures that was ordered by God. Instead, they intermarried with the heathen and in time became just like them. They worshiped their idols and were caught in the trap of idolatry. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters at the altars of demon gods. They slit the throats of their babies and murdered their infant boys and girls. They offered their babies to Canaan's gods, and the blood of their babies stained the land. Their way of life was wreaked, and they lived like prostitutes. I have an article I printed out because someone was telling me that they set up an altar in Washington, D.C. to the god Baal. It wasn't a permanent thing, but it was done in 2018. I had to go back through the archives to see what it was. But I want you to read a couple clips out of this article writing about it, because it just happened to appear there at the same time they were trying to confirm a judge for the Supreme Court who was pro-life. I mean, the god Baal asked for children to be sacrificed to him. Has no historical reference at all in the United States, shouldn't have been here. Except for it seems like it's a reference that they want to kill their young, their unborn and their young children. Let me read a couple things here. The author notes that the central tenet of Baal worship, the most distinguishing characteristic, involved parents gathering around a monstrous idol that included a furnace, into which the adults would sacrifice their children onto a burning hot altar. Drums would be ritualistically pounded to cover up the screaming of the children. Matthew, you come back here up to the bass drum here for a second. I want us to think about this for a second. Start off with a slow beat on the bass drum and then just take it faster. Slow and then faster. This was the music that drew them in. They wanted to be closer to their God. They took their newborn children, slit their throats, threw them on a burning altar of fire, and prayed, I guess, that the drum sounded out their crying. The power of the drum, the power of the lure, the false God coming in. This is what they did. Listen to the drums. Listen to the drum. Listen to the drum. Listen to the drum. Draw them further and further into darkness. Further and further into darkness. Further and further into darkness. Till they didn't know God at all. Thank you. We didn't practice that before, but he did really well. Can you imagine that? They had a thing. He said, I'm sending you to cleanse out the land because of this very reason, because they sacrificed their children unto false gods. He said, it's an abomination. I want you to eliminate these nations. Judgment is upon them. But instead, they didn't complete the task that God called them to do. They intermingled and married with those and became heathens themselves. Regardless of who their father and their grandfather was, they began to sacrifice their own newborn children to a burning fire, to a god Baal and Moloch. They served the false gods. Another comment here is the whole issue at stake in the for the far left is that their child sacrifice may be taken away if we eliminate abortion in America. So they wanted to erect the Temple of Baal here to say, we want this. The article was entitled, Ark of Baal Erected to D.C. in D.C. to Pagan's Delight. I look at this, you know, and in the book that Harbinger, there's a note and a quote to go something like this. When you serve false gods such as Baal, listen carefully. Once you create your own God, you can create your own truth. Once you create your own truth, you can overrule everything. You can call good evil and evil good. Idolatry is linked to relativism, because you're creating truths. Once you change your gods, everything else changes. It starts with that. He went on to say how that parents, how easily it seemed that parents gave up their young around the arch and the altar of Baal. Maybe much the same way that we unapologetically kill and dispose of our children at abortion facilities throughout the United States today. It's estimated since the legalization of abortion in America with Roe v. Wade that there are more than 60 million preborn children that have been legally murdered in the United States of America. That's 60 million. Folks, we live in a day and an age where we have transplanted our God. Once we transplant the God, then we transplant the truth. That's maybe why more now than ever, you need to be in the Word of God. You need to know the truth. You're not going to find it in our government. You're not going to find it on our courthouse square. You're not going to find it necessarily even on TV. Okay? You got to get into the Word of God. You got to know who God is and what He stands for. And He said, I made man in my image, and I alone am the giver of life. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. These are clear, evident things that God says because you're made in the image of God. People that don't agree with God's thought on that, He said, then they should be eliminated too. He said, someone takes a life, their life should be taken. God takes life very seriously. We in this nation, we grade life. Who's got a high quality of life gets to live, who doesn't gets to die. I'm not a real big conspiracy theory but I wondered, why did they put all the corona people who were sick back into nursing homes? That would be like the last place in the world you'd want to put someone with that sickness, where our weakest people are, unless, of course, you were hoping to eliminate them to save money. I'm just throwing the thought out there. I'm just saying, why would they do something like that? Doesn't make any sense to anybody here, does it? Throw a disease in where our sickliest people are. Unless, of course, you want to eliminate the sickly people. We have laws now on the West Coast that if you don't think you have a quality of life coming forth, they can put you down. Now, I wonder this. Who gets to decide what a quality of life is? Which government agency do you want to trust would determine whether you live or die? Federal? States? Local? No, we don't have a government out there that I want deciding life and death. This belongs to God. And until we wake up and realize that God created us in His image, we're made in the likeness of God, we will not realize the value of human life. There's been a whole generation rose up since the Roe v. Wade issue. They've never known a day where you didn't kill the young. Now, Jeremy, I have a couple of videos back there. If you can find the long one first, if not, doesn't matter. And I'm not sure if those of you at home can see the screen or not, but we got two short videos here that I think maybe would clue us back in a little bit about what's going on in the land that we live in the land of the free.
Being a part of something great, even a small part of something very great, gives one a sense of greatness. The history of this world is the exciting story of God creating and rescuing people for Himself. When people reject God, there is death, war, and brokenness. When people follow God, there is life, peace, and joy. In our chapter, Our Time, one of the themes where this is most obvious is abortion. Since Roe v. Wade, over 50 million precious lives have been ended here in the U.S., and millions more, mothers, fathers, grandparents, siblings, have been left with emotional, spiritual, and sometimes even physical brokenness and grief. This tragedy didn't start in our time. Let's go back to just after Jesus was on earth, when every Roman father had a choice. He could legally choose to embrace the child or reject it. The unwanted newborns were taken to a particular wall outside the city and left there to die. It was illegal for anyone to interfere with these babies. But there were some people running for their own lives, hiding in catacombs. Christians, they called them, who would sneak out at night and rescue these unwanted babies and raise them as their own. From the very beginning, those who followed Christ have stood together for life. Abortion did not start in current times. By the end of the first century, the apostles were teaching, "Do not murder a child by abortion or kill a newborn infant." Together for life with the saints through the ages, who have not only declared abortion to be wrong, but have helped mothers and babies. Basil, a pastor in Caesarea, discovered a guild of abortionists. Outraged, he preached, helped women in crisis pregnancies, educated the public, and in 374 AD, helped pass one of the first laws against abortion. Dimpna was a Celtic princess who found that the handicapped and unwanted babies were being killed. She opened her home to over 60, and her kindness changed that culture to value all human life. Vincent de Paul, a minister in Paris, discovered midwives performing illicit abortions. He went undercover and exposed them. He set up programs to serve pregnant women and lobbied the government for new laws. Anna Bowden, an English missionary to India, was appalled by the practices of abortion and infanticide. She developed rescue networks and shelters. Warned to stop, she replied, "We must rescue the perishing. I can do no less and still be faithful to the high calling of our sovereign Lord." And there have been many thousands more who stood boldly together for life, even when it cost them dearly. God used them to shape their time and their place for His kingdom. We stand on their shoulders as we face the battle in our own time and place. Against the flood of death and brokenness, we love and serve those in need, speaking the truth in love, being there when a young woman is facing an unplanned pregnancy. Are we having an impact? Yes. Together for life, not only with all the saints in history, but with thousands of pregnancy centers across the country, serving hundreds of thousands of women with love, truth, and compassion. Together we are the hands of Jesus to the helpless and hurting. Given real choices and help, many women choose life for their babies. Will you be a part of what God is doing through history, what He is doing right here? Together, we can stand for life.
Every year when we do the baby bottle blast, that's what this goes for. It goes to help convince young ladies and women to share their life that's in their womb. And the other thing we have to remember is there's been so many went through this because according to the laws of the land, there was nothing wrong with it. It's legal. It's that they've done, according to our laws, nothing wrong. But when they find the moral code of God, then they live with this guilt. And there could be someone here this morning that you're living with that guilt. I'm telling you, it's not an unforgivable sin. God will forgive you. God will give you a new beginning. We can't go back and unchange this, but He can forgive us. It's like He forgives everyone from all of our sins. So, you know, we look at this and we wonder, how did this come to pass in our land? A land, a nation that was founded on the principles of the Bible, principles of God. Our coins, our currency says, "In God we trust." I guess we should have been more specific which God it was. Okay. Now, this little arch just went up for a few days in D.C., then they moved it to New York City, they moved it around the country. But I'm thinking, what part of Baal would anyone want to worship? We need to pray for people's who cannot see truth and hope in life. Church, we have a hurting world out here. The world said, this is a shortcut. It'll solve all your problems, but it doesn't. It just compounds them. The best that the world has to offer is kill your newborn, take enough drugs, to drink enough alcohol, and life will be okay. It never is. It's not the answer. We sang about the answer when we just simply said, say the name. Say the name of Jesus, whose love penetrates into the uttermost darkness. The name of Jesus, it'll change every one of us from sinners to children of God. And I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad that I know His truth. I'm glad that I can see through His eyes. And I want to pray for those who are blinded to the truth of God and are saying, this is what the world says to do. Well, I'm saying God has another plan. God is the author of life, and he alone gives and takes life. It's not ours to do. I think there was one more little video. This is from our local one here in Harrisburg. I just want to intercede for our nation today. I'm going to ask for some women to come up and stand in for our nation today. Just women who love the Lord and want to intercede for our nation. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand at this altar and we're interceding for our nation. Lord, each of these women, some of them mothers and grandmothers, Lord, they know the gifts and the powers of life, O Lord, that you have given unto us. And Lord, we're going to pray that this curse be broken upon our nation. We're going to pray, O precious God, that your love and forgiveness will sweep through those who have been through this ordeal. I pray, O precious God, you'd forgive. I pray, O precious God, you'd bring peace into hearts and minds. I pray, O Lord, that your love would saturate them. Lord, I pray that we would get on our knees, O Lord, and intercede for all these, O Lord, who are struggling with the choices of life. And Lord, you set before us death and life. Lord, let us choose life. Lord, let the church be a bright light to a dark and dying world, Lord. Let us stand up for those who can't stand for themselves, for the unborn children, Lord. Lord, as we support our local center, Lord, I pray you just bless those who work there down at the Capital Area Pregnancy Center. Lord, that you just bless them and the work that they're doing. Meet all their financial needs, oh God. Meet every need there, oh Lord, that they can make a difference, oh Lord. Continue to make a difference, oh Lord, in our world. And I pray, O precious God, you'd wake us up, Lord, that we would realize that we need to help people along life's way. We need to intercede. Lord, I'm asking you would anoint these women, O precious God, to be prayer warriors and intercessors for the unborn children of America. Lord, I just pray you put a burden upon their heart this year. Lord, that they would lift us up before you on a daily basis and cry out to you, God, that, Lord, you'd bring about change in our nation. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for the sins of our nation. And Lord, make us what you want us to be. Lord, help us to put you back in your rightful position, that, Lord, you would be God of all, and, Lord, we would obey your words. Your truth would set us free, Lord. What you call good to be good and what you call evil to be evil. Lord, let the church be the church today. Bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. That, Lord, it goes beyond one day of just recognizing the value of human life. But, Lord, we make it a part of who we are day in and day out. That we bring life, O precious God, into this world. Because, Lord, we've been given life by you. Let your power and your anointing rest upon us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Women, I'm just going to ask you to keep this issue before the Lord when you pray, that we see a turning in our nation. I believe God can do it. I believe God made a way for this to change. So let's just intercede and petition God. Amen? Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you. Those of you, are we still online? Those of you who are watching online, wherever you're watching from, there's organizations in your community that support life for the unborn child. I ask you to help them along with what you can do. Wherever you're at, make a difference. And that's what we're asking everybody to do. Realize the value of human life, how precious it is. You know, we shouldn't take any day for granted. So I just want to pray a prayer of blessing upon us, and we'll go our way. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you were here, that the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, as we study your word, we realize that we are made in the image of God, and you are the author of life. So Lord, we surrender our will to your will this day. Lord, we intercede for our nation. We intercede, Lord, for our local community. And ask, O precious God, that things will be overturned and things will be better for the unborn children. Lord, that we'll choose life. Lord, you've come to give us life and life more abundant. We're thankful for it. Lord, give us a burden for all souls and help us this week to be a light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.